Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Hey, well, good morning, church family. Good to see you all. Glad that you're able to join with us here this morning. And I know today's just a little bit different. Not able to gather together because of the nice little winter storm that we had. So I hope everyone's staying safe and warm today. But did want to just kind of finish up that series that we've been looking at for Lamentations, and wanted to give you some things that I think would be very helpful to you, especially when we consider about how we're moving from that pain to that praise. And so just want to spend a few moments here with you and hopefully give you some direction from the Word of God. But what we're going to look at here is found in the book of Lamentations, and of course, lament, Lamentations, that all goes together. I think this is one of the things that when we talk about lamenting and the process of grief and despair and the pain and all those things, I think one of the most difficult things that we find is, how do we actually praise God? How can we praise God when we are in such a time of despair and grief? Is it possible? Yes, it is. And as we'll look at today in the book of Lamentations, that you'll see this pattern that Jeremiah has as well, as he goes through this lament and actually praises God. Just a little bit background of the book of Lamentations. It's written by Jeremiah, and he is lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem that happened in 586 BC. Now, not only did Jeremiah prophesy that this was going to happen, but he was also an eyewitness of it actually taking place. And so he saw the Babylonians come in, and he saw them destroy the temple, ransack it, destroy it, set the city on fire, breaking down the walls, all of those things. He was an eyewitness to all those things, seeing the people carried off captive into Babylon. And so that was just one of those things that he saw and was very distraught about it. And you'll see that as we look in our text here this morning. And so we're going to focus our attention on just this small passage here in Lamentations. It's in the Old Testament, Lamentations chapter 3, and hopefully it'll help us understand how we can actually praise God in the most difficult times in our life. And so this is what I want you to take away with you today. I can praise God in the midst of pain. And so let's take a look here at just a few things about how we can actually praise God in the midst of pain. So we're going to find ourselves Lamentations chapter number 3, and beginning in verse number 19. And so let's take a look here, some of the ingredients of how we can actually praise God in the midst of pain. First of all, honesty. Look what he says here, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. And 20. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. If you remember what we saw in how to lament, it included calling out to God, and we see this the same thing. As Jeremiah is doing this, he is calling out to God, and he's basically voicing his complaints. He's voicing the grief and the hardship that he's going through, and he's very honest. And that's one of the things that we have to do, is if we're going to praise God, we have to be honest with him of what we're going through, what we are experiencing. If you look at these two verses, it describes for us this turmoil that's going on in his soul, this affliction, and his position. What is he? He's bowed down, right? He's he's in this place of hardship and difficulty. These words, if you look at the words, right, like my affliction, these wanderings, my affliction, the wanderings, my soul, right, is bowed down within me. It's bowed, right? It's steeped down. It's in a place of despair and hardship. And so he's in the deepest darkness without any way out. And so he's going through all of these difficulties and hardships in his life. Now, I think this is a place that we don't like to think about often because it's hard, right? That we're in this place where we are in despair and hardship and difficulty and grief and sadness. But if we're going to praise God, we have to be honest with him, and we got to actually voice these things to God, because I believe true praise flows out of an honest heart. And so when we're honest with God and we're honest with him about what we're going through, that gives a conduit for praise to begin to flow out of that. And so we can't be self-deceived. I think this is one of those things that we go through, is sometimes when we're going through a difficult time, people may ask us, hey, how are you doing, right? Doing great. Everything's good, right? No problems. I'm wearing a smile on my face. Can't you see? And we can't be self-deceived, and we cannot be self-deceived with God either. In fact, he already knows our hearts. He knows what's going on. And so we have to be honest with him. So that's the very first step. If we're going to praise God, we have to be honest with him. Let's look at a second thing here as well, now to move from that pain to praise. So not only are we honest with God, but secondly, another ingredient includes remembrance. Look what Jeremiah says here in verse 21. But this, remember that? We kind of talked about that whole thing about remembering. We talked about how that remembrance brings hope, right? But, you know, but this, but is what he's saying. And it's really him telling us what he remembers. What does he remember? He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. That's one of the things that happens, is pain often robs us of our memory of what God has done, what God is doing, how good God really is. And because we're kind of stuck in that moment, that brief moment of hardship and difficulty, and because of that, it's robbing us of our pain, robbing us of what we remember about God. That pain robs us of that. And really, I think what happens is we come to this place where all that really matters is surviving, right? And so we're grabbing onto things, we're doing this, we're doing that. And we're not remembering. And so if we're going to praise God, we have to remember. We talked a little bit about this last week, but Jeremiah has found himself in that. Remember, he's looking at the city. It's been destroyed. It's fallen down. There's probably smoldering smoke, the cries of the people. And what does he do? He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Now, if you notice there in the verse there, right, we have that little thing there, those two little dots, right? He's going to tell us exactly what he's going to remember. And so let's look at this next thing about what that praise includes, right? The ingredients of praise. So we are honest with God. Secondly, there is a remembrance. And what are we going to remember? Well, notice what Jeremiah says here. He talks about the character of God. Now, this right here is the crux of the passage. I mean, this is, if you will, the main verses of Lamentations. And some of these verses we've heard about. There's even songs that are written about them. But listen to what Jeremiah remembers as he's recalling these things that are going to give him hope, that's going to lead to praise, Look what he says, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, here it is, I will hope in him. See, that's the pattern here, right? He's been calling out to God. He's honest with God. He's remembering what God has done and remembering who God is, his character. And this is what's going to give him hope, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of sorrow and grief and sadness, all those things, it's going to give him hope. So let's look here at a few things of what he talks about as referring to the character of God. Okay? First of all, he's going to give us five things in this verse that point to the character of God. Okay? Number one, he's going to talk about God's unending nature. He says his loving kindness never ceases, his unending nature. God's nature, his character, who he is, his essence, is never ending. He's eternal, right? And so his steadfast love never ceases. It's unending. God's love is always there, always there, always there. There's never a point when his love stops because it's unending, as what Jeremiah is pointing out. He's eternal. He's unchanging. As he was, he is, and as he is, he will be. Even John talks about when Jesus comes back there in 1 John. It says, for we will see him as he is. Right? And so we will see God for who he is. He is eternal. He's forever. And his steadfast love is unending. I think one of the things that we need to remember is that pain does not change who God is. We're going through a valley, we're going through a hardship, a difficulty, but pain does not change who God is. And so he's very trustworthy in the time of difficulty, in time of despair. And so we can trust him. And we can trust him so much because he's never changing. And even though we're experiencing that pain, God does not change in the midst of that. In the good times, he's still the same. In the bad times as well, he's the same. And so his character is unending. It's an unending nature. Now, we may not see the how or the where or the why as we're going through the difficulty. But one thing that we can rest assured of is that his steadfast love never ceases. just because we can't see things about how they're happening or why they're happening or things like that, it doesn't mean that God's love has not stopped. Okay? It's never ceases, as what Jeremiah is pointing out here, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Okay. Secondly, look at the second thing that Jeremiah points out here. God's dependable nature. It says his compassions, his mercies, his compassions never come to an end. Now that's amazing. When I think about God's mercies and I think about God's compassion, never comes to an end. I think as humans, this is one of the things that we struggle with. Our compassion sometimes runs out, right? For those of you that have children or have had children, you know this, right? The kids know how to just push those little buttons, right? And we come to that place where we're just like, right? but God's compassion, his mercy never comes to an end. That's awesome to think about. And when we think about this with God, what he says he will do, he does it. He keeps his promises always. His mercies, his compassion never ceases. He never goes back on his word, right? His compassions never fail. They never come to an end, is what he's saying. He's totally trustworthy and wholly reliable, which means, I believe, he possesses the strength, ability, and resources to carry out his intentions. And his intentions are toward his people are always rooted in love and compassion. And so, you know, as we're going through this difficulty, even Jeremiah, as he was going through this difficulty, seeing the city as it was. In fact, even Jeremiah was thrown into a pit. And so he was in a pit and he's down there and he's going through all this difficulty. He's sunk down in the mire and the clay, right? And Jeremiah is remembering God's compassions and his mercies. And so even knowing all that, he knew that God had good intentions for his people. And I think this is one of the things that we need to remember as well, that even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of trials and suffering and hardship, we need to remember that God has good intentions for us. His mercies never come to an end. And this can give us great hope, and it can give us great ability to actually praise God. Let's look at the third thing here that Jeremiah points out about the character of God. Thirdly, he talks about God's replenishing nature. Look at this. His compassion and mercies are what? New every morning. They replenish. They're new every morning. That is just amazing when you think about that, that his mercies are new every single morning. No matter how much God gives, he can never run out of anything needed. Neither he nor his resources can ever be depleted. And so we can totally, fully trust in God because his mercies never come to an end. They are new every single morning. It's just there. It's just there. It's however much you need, whenever you need it, it's there. And so we can come to God and we can rely upon him and we can trust him just like how Jeremiah did, because his mercies never come to an end. They are new every single morning. Let's look at the fourth thing that Jeremiah points out. He talks about God's faithful nature. God's faithful nature. Look at this. Look at these words, right? And we sing this as a song, right? Great is your faithfulness. Right? Great is your faithfulness, God. You are faithful. And he is totally faithful, always. There's never a time when God is not faithful. He's completely, wholeheartedly faithful. You know, people, I think what happens sometimes, especially when we're going through a hardship and difficulty, and maybe you've seen this in other people's lives, they tend to drift. They're drifting away from God. They're drifting away from those who care about them, right? They're drifting apart. And I think that that's a very difficult place to be in. Because God is there wanting us to come to him. And instead, what we're doing is we're drifting apart. But our Heavenly Father never drifts and he never disappears. He's always faithful. He's always there. And so we can totally rely upon God. We can trust in God completely because his faithfulness is always there. He always keeps his promises. Here's the fifth thing that Jeremiah points out about God's character that gives him great hope. Okay? God's sustaining nature. God's sustaining nature. Look what he says here in the end of this verse. The Lord is my portion. Now, if you've noticed through these verses, Jeremiah is using a specific name of God, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord. This is Jehovah. This is Yahweh. This is the creator, self-existent God. This is the same name that was used, right, when God spoke to Moses, I am that I am. It's the same name that Jesus used when he was confronted by the Pharisees in John chapter 8, right? Before Abraham was, I am, right? He is the self-existent one. And this is so important to understand, because he says the Lord, Yahweh, is my portion. For Yahweh is my portion. Yahweh is our portion. Yahweh is my portion. Yahweh should be your portion. And I say, why is that important about this whole portion thing? Well, in biblical language, especially if you read through the Bible, you'll find that word portion used often in the Old Testament. For example, the portion is what was given to sustain people. As you go through the Old Testament, especially in the very first few books of the Old Testament, in the Pentateuch there, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'll see, okay, how God gives certain things as a portion to his people. So like the Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel, they were given in a certain allotment of land as a portion. So on that land, they grew their crops. This is what sustained them. There was only one tribe that was not given land, and that was the priests, the Levites. What was their portion? The Lord is their portion, but also what sustained them is the people gave the priest food so that that way they could sustain and that way they could serve. And so God is our portion. He is our portion. He is what sustains us. And so I think this is so important to understand, because when people go through a difficulty or hardship or they're in grief and despair, what is their portion? What is sustaining them? For many people, what they are going to them is not God. It's the world. And so they run to the world. They run to the allurements of the world, the attraction of the world, thinking that this is what's going to give them rest, thinking that this is what's going to give them help, thinking this is what's going to help numb the pain, help with all the sadness and the grief and the hardship. And so they're running to the world. They're running to whatever that's out there as their portion, instead of running to God and having God be their portion. And so Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion. And you think about where Jeremiah was. Everything was stripped away. Everything. The temple's gone. The priests are gone. The people are gone. He's in a pit. He's in despair. He says, the Lord is my portion. This is all that I have. And so it's important to remember, if we're going to praise God in the midst of pain, we have to remember God's character, and he should be our portion. And so Jeremiah concludes this verse. What does he say? Therefore, because of all these things of who God is, his unending nature, that his mercies never cease, right? They're new every morning. God's sustaining nature, all of these things, because of this, therefore, I will have hope in him. And that is so very encouraging. So let's look at a third thing now. So not only are we supposed to have hope in God's character as an ingredient of praise, not only are we to remember, not only are we to be honest with God, but here's the fourth thing: we need to wait. We need to wait. Look what Jeremiah says again here. Jeremiah shows us the importance of waiting. The Lord, there it is again, Yahweh, right? The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I think we really struggle in waiting in dark times of our life, because I think there's this tendency as human beings, especially in our culture today, that we want to fix this. It's got to be fixed right now. And there's a problem. It needs to be fixed. I'm going through this hard time. What can I do to fix it? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? Where can I go? What can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do it? Right? And there's this stuff that we're going through and we're trying to fix things. And God simply says, no. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So what do we need to be doing? If we're actually going to be praising God, one of the things that we need to be doing is waiting on God. And you might say, that can seem like forever. I know it seems like forever, but in reality, that's when God is doing his greatest work, is when we are waiting on him, because God is perfect in everything that he does. It's always concise to all of his timetables. God is doing kind of like an orchestra. God orchestrates everything exactly the way that he's doing. Think about the people in Jerusalem, right? Carried off captive into Babylon for 70 years, they had to wait. Think about before this, as the people were in bondage, slavery in Egypt, right? 400 something years. And so they were waiting on God. Think about the time that the people were waiting for a Messiah. And so God does these things. He wants us to wait on him, to not run ahead, but to wait on him, because God is good to those that do that. And it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, I think this is important to see this. Notice that word quietly there. It's good to wait for God, and it's good to wait quietly, because not all praise is loud. Sometimes it just means being still, being quiet. I really struggle with this. I'm one of these people that likes to talk to other individuals, and I get very nervous around silence. It makes me very uncomfortable. But God says here that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so praise sometimes doesn't include words. Praise sometimes just means that we are waiting quietly as we're waiting for God, as he is working all things out together for good to those that love him. And so instead of being still, instead of striving, sometimes our praise is best expressed in just waiting on God and waiting for him. So we've looked at the ingredients of praise, okay? So these are the things that praise includes. But I think there's a big question that we need to really ask, and that is how, right? How? Like, I know, okay, these are some things that I can do. Be honest, remember, focus on the character of God, wait on him. But how? How do I actually do that? Okay. So let's look here. Last thing here, the instructions of praise. How do we actually praise him? How do we do that? Because I think it takes really true effort to move from despair to praise, to go from anger to praise, to go from grief to praise. It takes a lot of effort to work through those things. And it takes courage to really learn how to give thanks to God and to trust him and to rely upon him and hope in him, right? It takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, right? And is that not what the Christian life is? The Christian life is difficult. The Christian life is hard. We're reminded of these things is what Jesus tells us, right? Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, right? All these things are so true. Even Paul talks about how the Christian life is a battle. It's a war. It's a marathon. You're running, right? There's all these difficulties in the Christian life. And so it takes effort. It takes work. And so if we are going to actually praise God, one of the things that we have to do is we actually have to open our hearts to the living and active Word of God and lean into Jesus, the Word himself. This means that we have to spend time in the Word. This means that we actually have to spend time talking to God about who he is, how he's revealed himself in this Word, spending time in the Word, thinking about it, meditating on it, allowing the Word of God to change us. We immerse ourselves in the Word. When we do that, all of those things are results, right? We're remembering who God is. We're being honest with him. We're reflecting on his character. We're waiting on him. We're trusting in him. We're voicing those things to him as we pray to him. And when we are doing this, we can actually begin to praise God. As we were going back to, or going over to Ohio for Thanksgiving, we were driving, and my daughter had these CDs. They were of the Corrie Ten Boom. It was called The Watchmaker's Daughter. And so we were listening to them. And if you don't know the story of Corrie Ten Boom, her and her family, they were in Holland during World War II. They were taking in Jews, hiding them from the Nazis. And as they were doing that, they were put in a place where they got caught, and then they went to a concentration camp, a work camp. They were there. Corrie's sister died while in the camp, but they thought it would be a great opportunity to actually minister to people there in the camp. They ministered to the guards, and they ministered to other people that were going through hardship and difficulty. And listening to the testimony of these things as we were driving, it was very like sad and hard to listen to some of those things. But you could see how they had such great hope in God, and how they were praising God even when they didn't have any food, even though when they were going through difficulties of beatings and just a lot of difficulty, they were still praising God. And what was doing that for them? It was because they were leaning into God. They were leaning into Jesus. They were leaning into the Word. And God was the one that was sustaining them. And God was the one that was helping them through all of that difficulty. So it is possible for us to praise God in the midst of pain. Jeremiah did it. Other countless Christians throughout generations have done this. And I really encourage you, spend some time. Jeremiah, the book of Lamentation is only five short chapters. And I encourage you to read through it and just see how Jeremiah laments over what takes place, and how God really uses his word and the things that he's doing to encourage Jeremiah, even in the midst of pain. Well, why don't we pray? And I hope you have a great rest of the day. Stay safe out there. Wind's howling right now. I can hear it. But we look forward to hopefully seeing you next week. But let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church, or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.